Becoming a full-time writer can be overwhelming. Join Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon as they help you improve your craft and find your audience so you too can become a career author. This is the Career Author Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Career Author Podcast. I'm Zach Bohannon, and with me every single week is Jay Thorne. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Man, not much. About just over a week from now, as we're recording, let's wait a few days if you're listening. I'm gonna be head to Cleveland.
Coming up your way. I was thinking about that, man. And yeah. In about a week or so, you're gonna be in my attic.
I can't wait. I finally get to sit on that couch right there.
You've been looking at that for years. You'll be able to crash on it.
I wish you guys recorded the Writer's Wall on Tuesday so that like whenever you guys record, I could just be laying on that couch asleep, like with my sleep mask on and stuff, just like sitting back. That'd be awesome. And then just not even say anything to Rachel. Just play it off like whatever. That'd be awesome.
Yep. Just get up. Like you put like a cover over yourself and so you even tell there's a you just get up and walk into the frame.
I wear like a Ninja Turtles blanket or something on me and like just walk across the back over there. Grab that coffee mug back there.
That would have been perfect. We just ruined it now anyways because we just put it out there.
Rachel isn't going to listen to this for about another 6 weeks.
Yeah, she's still in Venice.
Yeah, and she's I think she stays way behind our podcast, which is fine. That's all good. But I'm excited about that. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, Rock of Pock and Selmore Book Show Summit in the same week. And yeah, it's going to be a blast. I'm so jacked for it. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We'll have obviously we'll be recording an episode of the Career Author Live at the Selmore Book Show Summit, which will be fun. And yeah, it's going to be a good time.
That'll be the first time we've done that too. We have not.
Yeah, I missed out on the live podcasting last year. It was you and Rachel got to do it, and then Jim and Brian.
But, right.
So I was just kind of there, and I think I like kept making fun of you during your podcast. But
that sounds about right.
I actually get to do it this year, so it'll be fun. So it'll be a good time. But today let's talk about what we're going to be talking about today. So today we're going to be talking about opt-in forms and tagging your list, your mailing list. And this is going to be kind of in the weeds episode. And, I'll be really upfront and say this is something I can be kind of bad about, especially tagging and stuff. But you're the man. You're really, really good at this. So this is going to be a really good show to help people kind of organize their list. I think it's going
to be in all seriousness, too, like I want you – I want you to ask the questions for the listeners because I think you're right. Like you haven't done as much of this I've been doing it for years and I don't want to gloss over something that I just think everyone knows. I don't want to make that assumption. So just make sure you like stop me or ask questions as we go for that reason.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We'll definitely get into it a little deeper once we get to the topic, but before we get to the topic, we want to remind everybody that the Career Author Podcast is brought to you by all our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/thecareerauthor. And for as little as $1 a month, you can join our over 100 patrons over there and support the show and gain access to our two monthly bonus episodes, which include our movie analysis. And for April, we have American Pie. So we got that one, which was a lot of fun. And our question and answer episode, where you get to kind of ask us anything. And we do a special show every month where we answer it. So if we do there's a lot of other stuff we have going on. We'll have bonuses coming up every now and then, got stuff in the works. But if you want to check all that out, head on over to patreon.com/thecareerauthor. And we want to give a big shout out this week to Maggie Manane, I believe is how you would say that. I'm taking a good guess there.
Sounds about right.
Thank you, Maggie. We definitely appreciate it. Appreciate your patronage. And yeah. Jay, do you want to, let me real quick remind everybody as well that we have the first in a series of career author books is available. And this one is called Planning Your Collaborative Novel and The Proven Process from Idea to Draft. And these were, of course, we put these on Patreon as like a blog series. But we have now formed it into a book. And it is available on all major retailers. And you can check that out. If you just head over to thecareerauthor.com and scroll down, you'll see the image right there on our page. And you will be able to go check that out. So
yeah, and big thanks to those listeners who went and posted a review for us on Amazon. We really appreciate that. That helps a lot. So
it does. Absolutely. You. So definitely go check that out. And Jay, you want to give a really quick reminder about our giveaway?
Yeah, we technically have two giveaways, and this is going to be the last reminder for the one. So we do have the first annual listener survey, and that's going to close at the end of April. Please, if you can, help us help you. Let us know who you are, what you want to learn, what your dreams are. Like we seriously want to sort of craft the direction of the podcast towards what you want. So if you speak up and tell us that, that's what you're going to get. And if you fill out that survey, then you are in a random drawing for that's the Black Irish Books package. So that's the Story Grid, the War of Art, and a few other titles. So that survey will close at the end of the month, and this is the last episode of April. So make sure you do that before you forget. And also our monthly giveaway, we're going to do this every month. We're going to change it up, but this month is April, and the theme is spring cleaning. And we are giving away paperback copies of Essentialism by Greg McKeown and Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport. And both the survey and the giveaway are right on the website. So if you go to thecareerauthor.com, scroll down, you'll see the monthly giveaway, and the survey is at thecareerauthor.com/survey.
Awesome. And one more quick thing, and this will be the last time we talk about one of these. We want to remind everybody to go check out virtual tickets for our two upcoming events this year. We've got Rockapoc, which this is the last, this is basically your last chance to get virtual tickets for this. We're ending the virtual ticket option on the 30th of this month. So April 30th, 2019 is your very, very last day to get a virtual ticket for Rockapoc, which again, just as a reminder that it's under $100 and it'll give you, you'll have access to audio files for all our world building stuff we're going to do, which you can then listen to and, you know, get an idea for how the group world builds together, which is a lot of fun. You'll get to kind of hear some behind the scenes stuff. And then that'll also give you the ability to submit a story for the anthology and possibly have your story end up in the anthology we're going to publish. So you can check that out at rockapoc.com. And then of course we have them available for Sci-Fi Seattle as well. And those will, that virtual ticket though will be available for a good chunk longer as that event is in September, but you can check that one out at sci-fiseattle.com. Or you could just visit thecareerauthor.com and click on our little events page, and that'll get you to all this stuff. So as well. So, and with that, we'll go ahead and move into our ways and hacks for the week. And I have a kind of interesting, I guess, hack this week. Jay's already laughing. But this, you know, this is one of these things where we've been talking a lot about spring cleaning. And it's been kind of a theme on the show this month and with our patrons and stuff like that. And this is something I want to talk about because this is something that apparently not a lot of people know about. And I want to kind of talk about why I want to talk about it. So so recently, I talked about this a couple weeks ago on the podcast, but my wife and I have been going through we've been doing a lot of cleaning in our house. We've been trying to minimize as much as possible. I'm not going to go as far to say that we're becoming minimalist. I would like to do that probably more than her, even though she's doing a really good job getting rid of stuff. But we're just trying to get rid of a lot of clutter and a lot of stuff we don't need. One big thing was our garage, and our garage was an absolute nightmare, as I'm sure I'm not the only one. I know a lot of people have that issue. Luckily, I'm not going to let mine get that way again. But I want to talk about a little solution I had to cleaning our garage, which, we had enough stuff in our garage and in our house where we actually had to rent a dumpster, which is like embarrassing to say, but I don't feel bad because I see them in other people's yards around my neighborhood. So I know I'm not the only one.
You're not.
Surely you've seen this in your around your day. So, but man, that's expensive. Like renting a dumpster is super freaking expensive. Like I'm talking like $600-$800 was a lot of what I was quoted. So and trying to find a solution, I ended up finding this thing called the Bagster, which a lot of people had no idea what it is when I talk about it. I've talked to several people and they're like, what the hell is that? Of course, if you've been listening to the show lately and hearing my social media stuff, you know that I really don't have any friends, so maybe I just don't talk to enough people. I don't know, just joking there. So the Baxter, it's made by Waste Management, and we'll have a link to this in the show notes, because the cool thing about this is it's just a bag that you can buy at Lowe's, Home Depot, you can get it on Amazon. And it's crazy. It just comes in like a plastic package. When I went to Lowe's, even the woman was like, we're not going to have anything like that. Like, I think she expected it to be like huge. And I was like, no, it's just, and we finally found it and she was blown away. So like I said, a lot of people don't know about this, but the cool thing is it's $30 for the bag, and you set it out in your yard or whatever, and you can fill it with pretty much anything. You can't put like electronics in there and stuff, but you can put basically anything else in there. And then you call Waste Management, and by the way, you can go on their website. You can look up Baxter Waste Management, go on their website and put in your zip code and your address, and they'll tell you if they service your area and give you like the rules and all that stuff. But then they come pick it up for $150. So for under $200, you can get your house cleaned and get stuff thrown away that you don't need anymore. So really, really cool if you're into spring. I know it's kind of weird to talk about this on a writing podcast, but in all seriousness, we've talked a lot about cleaning and minimalism and stuff lately. And this was something that I just thought was really cool that I wanted to bring up, that I figure a lot of people probably don't know about. So, if you were like me and can't find an affordable option to get a dumpster brought to your house, this is a great option. So
I think it's a great lifestyle hack. And
even though you laughed at me the whole time?
No, I just laughed because you're like all self-conscious about talking about your garage. That's why I was laughing. But
well, you saw pictures of my garage.
I did.
Right?
Yeah, I saw the before. I mean,
it was
after.
Brutal. So it's like but yeah, it is it's what it doesn't I don't care. No one on this podcast is gonna judge me. And if you do, leave a comment or whatever, I'll just ignore it. I'm just picking. But yeah. So there you go. So the Baxter, we'll have a link to the Amazon page in the show notes. And like I said, you can also pick this up at your local Lowe's or Home Depot. So really
sweet. Cool.
All right. So let's go ahead and move into the main topic. And Jay, tag, you're it.
Nice. Well, well done. That was a nice transition.
That literally was off the cuff. I'm not even making so there you go.
Yeah, nice transition. We've talked about mailing lists in many different episodes, and for good reason. We really believe that the mailing list is really at the core. It's a core business principle for independent authors. There's no question about it. You've got to have one. It is the single best way to get directly to your readers. And there's a lot of opinions out there on what you do with an email list and what you send and why you send it. And we've talked about some of those things. But I thought this was a good moment to get really specific. Sometimes we have these topics that are more broad, and this one is really specific and mechanical and tactical, but I think it's important because it's the kind of thing where if you don't have good email list management, you sort of look up one day and your list is a mess. And then it's almost like a garage in that you're like, oh, it's overwhelming how much stuff is crammed into your list, and most of it's not really doing you any good. And you have to like somehow clean it out. So if you spend a little time up front and set up your list in a way that it'll be hands off and it will sort of manage itself. And one of the ways you can do that is tagging. So I want to say off the top that the way I'm going to talk about tagging is how my email list provider functions, and that's AWeber. I'm a huge fan of AWeber. They won me over in 2014. I've been with them for 5 years. I have personal reps there. I'm an affiliate. So if you think AWeber is great and you sign up with the link from the show notes, I'm going to get a little something for that. Trust me, it's not a lot, but I want to be transparent and just say I'm an affiliate because I'm a huge fan. I've been using them for years. So I am going to plug them. I'm not saying AWeber is the best. I'm not saying they're the cheapest. Just saying for what I need and what they do and the relationship I have and their customer service, which to me is, that's a differentiator. You know, you can sign up with any email list provider, but it's the service that matters. So
yeah, just to give some transparency too, like as of this recording, I use MailChimp.
Yeah.
So like Jay and I don't even use the same mail. Like that's probably going to change in the near future. I keep putting off you and I merging our list over to AWeber. which I know that you want me to do, and I probably should. And it's going to happen. It's just a matter of us doing it. When maybe we get past some of this other stuff, we can put that on our list.
Yeah. So, yeah. Right. I mean,
but yeah, so I don't even use AWeber as of right now. Right. So that's some further transparency, but MailChimp, I know as of late, has tried to implement a tagging system like this, but I almost feel like for me, I don't really understand how they do it. And it's almost too late at this point, and it's just be easier probably for me to switch over to AWeber. And where you have it figured out, and it seems they have tagging figured out. I'm sure someone who uses MailChimp may come on this episode and say, no, it's easy. But like, to me, it's just, yeah. I'm so used to using it a certain way that I almost just need to start over with AWeber at this point and let you help me out since you know how to do all this.
Really yeah. Well. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's define tagging first. What is it we're talking about? Some of you who are a little further on your career author journey might know what this is, and some of you might not, and that's okay. But what tagging is very simply is you're putting a label on every subscriber. And if you're doing it properly, that label is being applied without you doing anything. And you can have multiple labels. So it's not like you have to sit down with your list and go through each individual person and like put a label on them. The whole idea is that this tagging happens as part of the automated process. But what it allows you to do is tagging is what allows you to create different segments. It allows you to send different messages to different people for different reasons. It's a very simple way of creating a more personalized experience for the person on the other end. And you know, there's definitely some advantages in tagging. You know, I hear some authors talking about having multiple lists. And,
which is what I do.
Yeah. Right. And it depends on how you're defining that. So like if you're saying like you physically have two lists, depending on your provider, you might be paying twice for the same person.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me sit on that for a second since you're bringing it up, because it is like, and MailChimp actually just made some changes to their interface that have made having multiple lists worse.
Okay.
It used to be, and this is one reason why I'm like ready to switch over to AWeber with you, because it used to be where you could see all your upcoming campaigns on one page, no matter what list they were on.
Yes.
And it was really easy when I was sending out a broadcast to multiple lists, because then I could just easily click and replicate. But now you have a different dashboard for each list.
Yep.
And it is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Like I can't just see everything in one screen, and it would be way easier. And the thing with MailChimp I haven't been able to figure out with tagging is that I haven't been able to figure out how to make like a different link for each. So like let's say we're sending people to our War for Earth series, like I want that to be a specific landing page link to give them a specific book for free type of thing. And I haven't been able to figure out how to do separate links like that within MailChimp, which I know is easy in AWeber to do, to create like different links to send, to put in your CTAs and stuff and your calls to action. So I don't know. It's just kind of a mess. And
I don't know.
But I just want to bring that up real quick.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good to mention. The simplest way, and this is why it's good to start as early as you can, is to tag through your opt-in forms or through click actions in broadcasts. So what I mean by that is in AWeber, when I create an opt-in form, I don't just have one opt-in form. I have an opt-in form for just about every piece of content I've ever created. Now, I have hundreds of opt-in forms in my dashboard, and you know, that's just the reality of it. It's not always easy to manage the opt-in forms because there's so many. But what it allows me to do is when I create a unique opt-in form, let me give you an example. Let's say I want to run a Facebook ad for the War for Earth series, and I want to target just people with Kobo readers. So what I do is in the ad, I send the CTA link in the ad goes to a landing page with a special opt-in form. And on that opt-in form, I might have the tags enabled War for Earth and Kobo. So now if that person subscribes, when they go on my list, if I look at their labels or their tags, it's gonna tell me, okay, they are a Kobo reader and they clicked on the ad or they subscribed through the War for Earth ad. So already now I know, like, what series are they interested in and what are they reading on or where are they getting their books from? And I don't have to do anything, right, other than create the unique opt-in form. So I think that's a tremendous tool that's underutilized because it's kind of a pain in the ass to set up multiple opt-ins. It would be easier just to grab the same opt-in embed code and drop that everywhere. But if you spend a little extra time and you just make that unique form, I've got a unique opt-in at the back of every single book. I've got a unique opt-in on every blog post, every piece of content for me has its own unique opt-in form.
And just to clarify what I was saying earlier, that's what I can't figure out how to do on MailChimp. I can't figure out how to make more than one opt-in form on a list.
Okay.
Like there maybe there's a way to do it.
But someone, yeah.
Again, someone might be yelling at me right now, right. But if you saw their interface, like it's not necessarily, because every time you go to edit your opt-in form for a list, it's just the one opt-in form that it gives you.
Okay.
So there's gotta be a way to do it, but I haven't been able to figure it out.
Yeah. All right.
But again, I haven't, in fairness, I haven't digged that hard in a while. So.
Yep. Okay. Well, the other way that you can get, so let's say you already have people on a list. They've already opted in, so you lose the ability to tag them when they're opting in. The other thing you can do with AWeber is you can have them be tagged based on click actions. So you can send a broadcast to your entire list, and in it you can have a link, and it basically says, click here if you read on a Kindle, click here if you read on a Nook.
Yeah.
And then when they click on it, on the back end, they get tagged with whatever tag you set up, like Kindle or Nook. So even if you miss them coming in, you can still get them later. Now, the downside is that if you have a really engaged list, you're probably getting about a 40% open rate. That's really good. So that means 60% of the people you're not like aren't going to self-identify by clicking something in an email broadcast. But still, 40% is better than zero. So if you have a list and you haven't tagged them and you want to set up tags, that's one way you can do it, is you can ask them to click on something and then it'll trigger the tag. So that's basically what tagging is. We started talking about a few of the reasons why you should do it. And clearly having one list is going to be less expensive in the long run. So
now can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah, please.
So like, let's say when I move over from mail, and this is kind of, I think I know the answer, but I'm kind of asking for the listeners, but let's say I move over from MailChimp to AWeber, like we're going to put my list into your dashboard. It'll be fairly easy at that point to give me one list, but I'll be able to tag all the people in my, but it'll be easy to tag them coming in, correct? Like, let's say I have a list for Kindle readers only. Like, you can take that list and tag them as Kindle readers.
That's really right. Easy. Yep. You put a column in your spreadsheet on your export and you call it tags, and then you type whatever tags you want. And then when you import that into AWeber, they have those tags.
Easy enough. Cool.
Yeah. So it's great. And again, like it's the advantage is that you're only paying for one list. And I know depending on what plan you have and what service you have, most, I would say, will charge you based on the number of subscribers you have. And if you have multiple lists and the same people on them, you might be paying two or three or four or five times for the same person. Whereas
that
if you have
add up if you have a lot of those. Sure,
yeah, that's right. So instead of having different lists, you just have them tagged, and then you can still segment your messaging based on the tags as opposed to based on the list. Related to that, and we talked a little bit about this, you can tailor messages to the right readers at the right time. For people like us, the genre tag isn't all that important, but it could be. So like we could, knowing that, say, somebody came into our list, and I'm talking about Molten Universe Media too. I have my list and Molten Universe Media list on AWeber, and Zach's is on MailChimp. But the Molten Universe Media list, we have funnels set up there from Final Awakening, War for Earth, Baron, Stone the Crows. And so when they come in, those are generally in the same genre, but they're not always the same reader. So if we wanted to say, let's say we had a promo, we were going to be in a special YA dystopian promo. I could then just send an email to people who came in through Stone the Crows, our YA dystopian series, instead of sending it to everybody. So imagine if you're writing in multiple genres and you could tag your readers based on the genre that they came to you through, that would be really helpful. As we mentioned, if you are looking at sort of how readers have found you. You could tag things like Kindle, Nook, Kobo, paperback. Like you could, you know, you could have different opt-in forms in paperbacks and know if someone came through a paperback. And then you could tailor messages based on the book. So if you have a series that's only in Amazon KDP Select, you could then uncheck the people who are tagged in those other platforms, because you wouldn't want to send them that message if they can't get the book.
Let me ask you, so you, but in your dashboard, you have like Jay Thorne and Molten Universe Media are separate lists, correct?
They are separate lists, yes.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. And then when I come in, I would be a separate list.
You would be a separate list, and too.
You probably have one for nonfiction, I'm guessing.
And I do, yeah.
Have tagged in your, okay. No. Yeah. Okay, cool. But so you still could have some multiple user crossover between those lists.
Yes, that is true. It'll be minimal though. And I think the
idea
will
be way more minimal.
Yeah, sure. I think the way you want to think about it is you want to use tags to segment instead of different lists to segment.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the best way to think about it. Now, I don't do this, but another way you could tailor messages would be frequency. So I know there are some authors who ask readers, hey, tell me when you want to hear from me. Do you want to hear from me every week? Do you want to hear from me just when I have new releases? Once a month? Like, what's the frequency? And you could have tags based on your form for that too. Or in a follow-up, or in your first like follow-up email in your autoresponder, you could put like, how often do you want to hear from me? Click here. And then that'll add the tag to them, so that if for some reason, like you could filter them out if you were going to send a weekly email of some kind. Like I said, I don't do that. I basically say I email twice a month. That's about what you can expect. And that's what I do. So it's sort of like all or nothing for me, but I know there are other authors who do that a little differently.
Yeah, for sure.
You can also use tags to create, and this one's really powerful. You can create a custom auto response or onboarding sequence. So I have in AWeber, they're called campaigns, follow-up campaigns. And I have different campaigns based on the book that you found us through. So Molten Universe Media is a perfect example. In the Final Awakening series, we have a free exclusive short story as a reader magnet. So if you say, yes, I want that, then you get tagged with a Final Awakening tag, and then you get that autoresponder sequence that is specific to that series. Now, they still end up at the same place because it's all Molten Universe Media. But the onboarding is much more personal, and it's based on what they did. So they get that Final Awakening short story before they start getting the more general autoresponder messages. And that's all done by tags.
If you're an author who has multiple series, that's really powerful.
Right.
You know, we have four complete trilogies, so like we can have a different onboarding sequence for every single one of those.
Exactly.
With different reader magnets, with different messages coming, you know, it's really powerful, especially if you have multiple series.
Sure. Yeah, it is. And that's what allows you to deliver a very specific reader magnet. Instead of like, if someone reads The Final Awakening and they're like, damn, I love that, I want that short story, it makes more sense to send them the first response is they get that short story, as opposed to here's just a bunch of shit that Molten Universe Media has. Like, we're eventually going to give that to them, but we want to serve up exactly what they asked for first. And so I think the tags allow you to deliver a very specific reader magnet.
Now for delivering your reader magnets, you send them, they get like a link once they sign up for the list that goes to BookFunnel, correct?
Yeah, but it's all delivered through BookFunnel, right?
See, I do mine a little different, and where the landing page to sign up for my list is on BookFunnel. I have the integrations package with BookFunnel. Mm-hmm. So where it, and you can set up, you know, specific books to put people on specific lists. I'm sure you could do it with like tagging and stuff.
Right.
But people get the book, and BookFunnel automatically puts them on my list for me. So it's a little bit different thing, just kind of on the side.
Yeah, but something to think about here, and this is getting really, we're going
it's
really deep
really,
here.
Yeah, really in the weeds.
But like the reason I don't use BookFunnel in that way is because I want a separate opt-in form for each type of reader. So yeah. I have a landing page with a different, for Final Awakening, with a different opt-in form for, say, well, it's not Final Awakening because that's not wide, but like, let's say, you know, Dustfall, right? So I have a landing page for Dustfall for people who are coming from Amazon versus, and I think it's wide. I don't think I do them by every single retailer,
But yeah, that's what I do. I have a wide list and then a Kindle.
Yeah. So I think if you only have one book funnel landing page, that means you only have one opt-in form, and therefore you can only have, you know, you can't tag them that way.
I think though that you could make a separate page in book funnel right. that goes to that other, like it, you could have, right. you could make separate landing pages in book funnel. I think there's a way you could do it.
Yeah. You can do that. And that's what I do on my own website. And because I've been doing it for so long,
exactly.
it takes me 3 seconds to for duplicate sure. the page, but yeah, you could do that too. But that's the idea, right? Is like, you would want to, even though it's the same reader magnet, you want a separate landing page with a unique opt-in form on each one based on where they're coming from.
I think the big advantage for me is that, like, and you've been doing it forever, so like you're just on it, is I just like the way the book funnel, like you can, with your account, you can make a pretty landing page.
Really yeah. easy.
Like, and it's not on your website, obviously, but like, it's for me, I just don't really want to mess with doing, it's just the way I like the landing pages it makes and stuff. So that's the only big difference. But again, you've been doing it that way. So I completely understand why you're doing it that way.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So. All right. So
those are details.
Yeah. And we're starting to get into like the how you do it part, which again, this is going to be dependent on the service that you have and the plan that you have. And so I'm going from AWeber because that's, you know, that's what I have. But you need to create unique opt-in forms for each call to action. And what's cool about AWeber is that it's not just one tag. So I can create a form and I can have 10 different tags placed on that form. Now, there's a bit of a trade-off because, you know, you don't necessarily know all the data you're looking for when they hit the landing page, but I can give you a really good argument for using two tags. Basically, the series or the book that they came in on and the platform that they came through. Those are the two, I think, most critical pieces of data you would need to really customize the experience for the reader. So for example, in Molten Universe Media, I could have an opt-in form for the Final Awakening series, and one tag could be Final Awakening 01, which meant they came through book one. And I could add the tag from Kobo, like if this was in the back of a book that was on sale at Kobo. So just those two pieces would really tell me a lot and allow me to create messages and to segment my list and my broadcast in ways that are very specific. Again, the best example is if someone comes through Kobo, I don't necessarily want to send them a new release update on a book that's only in select.
Gotcha. Yeah, good point.
Again, I also talked about the click campaign. So you could send a broadcast to the list and you could ask people to click. Say, hey, what device are you reading on? Or what's your favorite series of mine? And click here, sort of like a little poll kind of thing. And AWeber, when they do this click actions, they will get tagged. But again, you know, 40% is really good open rate. And I think click-through is probably significantly less, probably like less than 10%. So you can't exactly expect 100% of your list to do that. And in some rare instances, people have these weird email programs where they like prevent the pixel from going back out. And so even if they click on it, it doesn't register on the back end. Way more technical than we're going to get into here, but just understand that the click campaigns are not nearly as successful as opt-ins. If you can set up your tags on opt-in, 100% of your subscribers are going to be tagged.
Yep.
Because the form doesn't process without it. So that's the best way to do it.
Cool.
I think I pretty much hit everything on that I wanted to hit on the tags. Zach, questions, things that we missed, skipped over?
No, I think as far as like just going really deep on just tagging, I think we pretty much hit everything I could really think of. So
yeah, the only other thing I'll mention, and this is kind of level two as well, once your list gets to be fairly large for you, whatever that happens to be. And, you know, our lists are a few thousands. We're not talking like hundreds of thousands. But one of the things that you want to think about in your launch plan is that if you're launching to Amazon, the algorithm no longer rewards the big spike, which is why the BookBub isn't nearly as golden as it used to be. Amazon likes the slow drip, the sort of steady, constant sales. So if you have a new release and you send your entire list there at one time, you could get a really big spike on that, which is going to be great for about 15 hours. And then the algorithm is going to come in and flatten it back out. So what you can do with tags is you can hit different parts of the list at different times and break it up. And so instead of sending, let's just say for round numbers, instead of sending 1,000 people at one time, you can spread that out at 200 people over 5 days. And that's going to be much more, the algorithm will be much more receptive to that than they will the big spike.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something I've been thinking about when I put our launch plans together. Is like right now we do kind of break it down. Like I don't hit all my lists at the same time. I spread them out. And we could do that with the AWeb, with your list too, with the Molten Universe Mia list and stuff, where we actually could, on the launch plan, I could do segments that we hit at different times.
Right.
You know, so that's something that I've thought about, just to give us a little bit more spread over amount of time. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Glad you brought that up. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So, well, cool. Well, awesome. Well, that was a fun little deep episode, I think. Jay, we'll drop, if you're someone who has been thinking about switching mailing list providers, or, you know, your provider isn't really working for you, or maybe you haven't started a list yet, you know, we'll drop the AWeber link in here where you guys can check it out. And but chances are that, you know, you can do some form of this within your mailing list. Like if you're on a platform you're comfortable with, then, you know, I'm sure if you do a little digging, you could do this, including MailChimp. Like, I'm sure if I did a little digging, I could figure it out. I'm sure it's there, but I need to do a little more digging. This is definitely stuff that you want to be thinking about, you know. And as Jay said, this isn't one of those things where if you're just starting out and, you know, you have 50 or 100 people on your list, you might be like, God, it's not really worth my time just now. Well, it'll be worth your time later, believe us.
Yeah.
You'll be thinking to yourself later, you know. It's one of those things where plan for success, you know. So, all right. So with that, we'll go ahead and jump out of here. Remember to head on over to rockapoc.com and pick up one of those virtual tickets. If you want to get one, again, it's under $100. You're going to get some really cool materials and the ability to submit a story for the anthology. Going to be a lot of fun. And you can check out, of course, you know, all the stuff we have going on over at thecareerauthor.com, including our, if you want to consider supporting us on Patreon, that's on there. And just check out patreon.com/thecareerauthor. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
See ya.
Later.